The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show.
Welcome now to our show. Here's a friend you all know. Charlotte Greenwood is with us again.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards, to remind you that whenever you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. So on birthdays, anniversaries, graduation, whenever you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Yes, don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And here is our star, that lovable lady of stage, screen, and radio, Charlotte Greenwood. Charlotte is raising a Barton youngster. 1 o'clock, Saturday afternoon, and in the hallway, Jack Barton is busy at the telephone.
Yeah, but listen, Janet, this is strictly a matter of business. I know, but... Janet, I... Well, yeah, but I tell you, Janet, I... Oh,
Jack, I'm going out shopping now.
Oh, I didn't know you were on the phone.
Well, okay, Janet, I'll call you back later. Goodbye.
Oh, gee, Aunt Charlotte... I wish I knew of just one sure way of handling an argument with a woman.
There is a sure way. With your hat.
Hat?
Grab it and run.
Janet thinks it's just because we're, well, sort of engaged. But Aunt Charlotte, did you ever have a long engagement?
Mm-hmm. 52 weeks. In vaudeville.
That's a different kind. What you mean is the time when you were in the show with that goofy ventriloquist that you told us about.
Well, he was a ventriloquist. But he was a very fascinating man. You should have heard some of the things he made me say.
Oh, gee, Charlotte, I'm not kidding. I want to get down to reality.
All right. What is it?
How many men were ever in love with you at the same time?
Let's get back to reality.
Well, what I mean is, did you ever go around with two different men?
Only in a revolving door. Jack, what's bothering you? Maybe I can be of some help.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte, I'm having trouble.
Well, my advice is to forget trouble. Laugh in his face.
Yeah, but my trouble is my girl, Janet Gregory.
Then forget my advice.
You see, every Saturday night, Janet and I have a regular date, but... Well, tonight I got to take Gertrude Gleason out.
Oh, you've broken your date with Janet?
Well, no, not yet, but... Well, it's like this. I got to keep in good with Gertrude's brother because he can fix me up with a swell job next summer.
Yeah.
And he sort of expects me to ask her to a movie tonight or something.
Well, you'd better explain to Gertrude.
Hey, Charlotte.
Yes, Barbara.
Is Gertrude down there? Oh, I thought I heard you saying something to Gertrude.
No, but I just happened to mention her name. Why?
Oh, nothing. She said she might drop in on her way home. She's working at the railroad station canteen this morning in the information booth.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She just works there because the guys whisper something soft and sweet in her ear.
That's crazy. Aunt Charlotte, you worked at the booth. Did anyone ever say anything to you that was soft and sweet?
Well, one mess sergeant mentioned something about chocolate pudding. isn't this your day at the booth, too?
Uh-huh. From 4 to 6 this afternoon.
Girls passing out advice who aren't even through high school.
Well, what difference does that make? I know a woman who didn't even finish grade school. Said she's the best informed person in town.
Oh, how could she be?
She has a party line telephone. Oh, dear, my shopping list. I must have left it on the kitchen table.
Jack, do me a favor, will you?
Hmm? What?
Ask Janet to take my place to the information booth this afternoon.
Why?
Oh, listen. A couple of weeks ago, I saw a picture of some overseas veterans in Newsflash magazine. The magazine said they'd like to get letters. So I thought it would be fun to write to one of them, and I did.
Well, what about it?
Well, yesterday I got a letter from the one I wrote to. And his whole unit is passing through Lakeview on the 5:30 train. And here I'd already told him I work at the information booth every Saturday afternoon.
Well, I still don't get it.
Well, suppose he looked me up today.
Well, why shouldn't he? Well,
I don't know anything about him. Besides, he's a funny little fellow with a beard. That's how I happened to pick him out in the picture. He looked lonesome.
Oh, all right, so what?
But don't you see? I've got to get somebody to take my place at the booth.
Look, I've got my own troubles, Barbara. Hey, wait a minute. I'll get you a substitute if you'll take Gertrude Gleason off my hands. Ask her to go to a movie with you tonight.
Well,
make up your mind. That might be Gertrude now.
Okay.
Jack, Barbara, what's the matter, children? Why don't you answer the door?
Hello, everybody.
Oh, good afternoon, Gertrude. Come in.
David, it's a peachy-weeky day out. I mean, it really is peachy-weeky. It's so, I just don't know how to describe it.
How about peachy-weeky?
Yes, that's it. Peachy-weeky. And I mean, it really is.
Was there a crowd at the canteen today?
Oh, not many. Oh, but I met the cutest soldier. I mean, he was cute. I mean, he really was. I think he's a general in the cavalry.
Oh, a cavalry general wouldn't be hanging around the canteen.
Well, what's under a cavalry general?
Usually a horse.
But I mean, he really is important. I mean, he is really, because he belongs to a very exclusive military fraternity.
A military fraternity?
Uh-huh. He told me that last Saturday night he was taken in by the MPs.
Oh, Gertrude, MPs are military police.
Oh, he's a policeman. Well, I knew he was something special. I love policemen, don't you, Miss Greenwood?
Well, they're all right in a pinch. Barbara.
Gertrude, let's you and I go to a movie tonight.
Oh, that'll be peachy-weechy. And say, why don't you come over to our house for supper, and we'll eat from there.
Oh, doggone it, Gertrude. I was going to ask you to a movie tonight.
Oh, were you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe
I... Oh, but we'll make it some other time, Gertrude.
I wonder what pictures are in town. Come on, Gertrude. Let's go in the living room and look in the paper.
Oh, hi.
Oh, gee, Aunt Charlotte. Barbara looks kind of tired. You know, she could leave for Gertrude's house right now if she didn't have to work at the information booth this afternoon. Ah, the poor kid.
Uh-huh. I see what you mean. You mean that I could take her place?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, I'm going downtown anyway. I've worked at the canteen before.
Well, you could.
Yeah, I know you meant that. Yeah.
That is, if you don't mind a lot of servicemen telling you their troubles. Why, one sergeant even insisted on showing Barbara his picture when he was a baby.
Oh, that's wonderful. I've always wanted to see one.
Huh? See what?
A baby sergeant. You can tell Barbara that I'll take the booth.
Where's the telegraph office?
In the main waiting room, soldier, right through that door.
Thank you, ma'am.
Railroad canteen information booth? Yes, the troop train arrived about 5 minutes ago. Next train for Chicago? Wait, I'll look at the schedule.
Hey, excuse me, ma'am, but have you seen a girl who... Oh, there she is.
Stop!
Oh, honey bunch.
The next train for Chicago leaves at 6:30.
Oh, you look wonderful. I can hardly wait to take you in my arms.
In three sections.
Oh, I could just love you forever.
Stopping only at Minneapolis.
How's the baby?
He's the only child in the world.
Oh, there'll be lots more births. You're welcome.
Hey, pardon me, ma'am, but can you tell me where to go to find a taxi?
You bet I can, Sergeant. Just go right out that main entrance and turn right.
Oh, thanks. Hey, come on, honey.
Oh, gee, God. Hi, Miss Greenwood. Are you working here today? Are you, huh? Are you, huh?
I certainly am, Howard. I've got a job that every GI in the Army would envy. Did you see that first sergeant who was just here?
Uh-huh.
I told him where to go.
Oh. I see. Miss Greenwood, you know, I mailed a letter this morning, and then I found out I addressed it wrong. I spelled it Reading, Pennsylvania, instead of Reading. You think I could get it back before they put it on the train? Do you, huh? Do you? Huh?
I think that's easy. Just phone Mr. Jeffers at the station post office and tell him that I told you to call him. Dial 6-2 on that phone there.
Yes, it's all right. Thanks. I was sort of worried.
Yes, just tell Mr. Jeffers who I am and he'll remember me.
Hello, Mr. Jeffers. Say, I want to get a letter. Just tell me who I am and you'll remember me.
Now, Howard, wait.
No, my name is Howard Morton. And the letter was addressed to C.P. Wright, Reading, Pennsylvania. Oh.
What did he say?
Just a second, Mr. Jeffers. He says most of the mail's left and there's only one right letter there, and that's wrong.
Well, isn't Wright right?
Well, I mean the letter he's got is for Mr. O.K. Wright, and the letter for C.P. has already left.
Well, wait a minute, Howard. You better let me talk to him. Hello, Mr. Jeffers. This is Miss Greenwood at the information booth. About that letter, you see there are two letters.
And they're both letters for Wright.
What, Howard?
Both Wright.
Hello, Mr. Jeffers. Both letters are right, but one's wrong. No, no, I mean both letters are right, but the one with the initial C.P. is right, and the right that's wrong is okay. No, no, you're still confused, Mr. Jeffers.
Miss Greenwood, tell him the right is the one that's gone. It's left.
Mr. Jeffers, the letter that's left is right, and the one that's left is okay. And that's wrong. I mean the initials okay. Yes, yeah, the other is C.P. Oh, you have the one with the initial C.P.? Then please have one of the mailmen bring the letter over to me at the booth. Oh, thank you, Mr. Jeffers.
Oh, that's well, Miss Greenwood. While I'm waiting for the mailman, I'm going outside and see those overseas veterans that are passing through. I'll be back in about 5 minutes.
All right, Howard.
Pardonnez-moi, mademoiselle.
Oh, may I help you?
This is the canteen, no?
Yes.
This is the booth of information, no?
Yes.
And this is Saturday, no?
Yes.
Then you, mademoiselle, you are Snooky, you comes, yes?
No. Let's start over. I don't think that came out right.
Oh. But it must be right. This is the canteen information booth. You are there on Saturday. It is all according to the letter.
Oh, you have the letter.
Certainement, but of course.
Oh, since when did mailmen change to that kind of a uniform?
I am not a mailman, mademoiselle. I am Capitaine Martin Henri Louis René Dupré. Voilà. Voilà.
Well, would you mind running through that again? Just the chorus.
No, mademoiselle. You do not yet understand. I have your letter. Oh, you must remember me.
Well, the beard looks familiar, but...
Beard?
You're too young to be one of the Smith brothers.
Smith brothers? Mademoiselle, you do remember the letter, do you not?
Oh, certainly. I know all about the letter.
Ah, now, as you say, someplace we are getting anywhere. Well, then, I am Captain Dupré, formerly attached to the American unit as liaison officer. Only now, I am en route to San Francisco.
Oh, but what are you doing with the letter?
Mademoiselle, I am carrying it next to my heart. I have read it over and over again. I recall every word you wrote.
That I wrote, but I...
Even your telephone, it is maple.
Oh, no.
It is cedar.
No.
But of course, it is spruce. Spruce. Tree.
I'm sorry, but you have the wrong lumber. As a matter of fact, Captain, you've got the...
Mademoiselle, from the description you wrote of yourself, I would recognize you anywhere. You said you are beautiful.
Well, I'm glad somebody said so.
Intelligent, vivacious, charming. You are wrong only in one tiny respect.
Uh-huh. I had a feeling there was a catch to it somewhere.
You wrote me you look like the moving picture actress Rita Hayworth. But as I observe you, mademoiselle, sitting down there, you look like Lana Turner.
You mean sitting down, I look like Lana Turner standing up?
Oh, mademoiselle, we Frenchmen think Americans are smart. You ladies always captivate the art. You are so petite, so pretty and young.
Well, 50 million Frenchmen can't be wrong.
Oh, what a pity. My train is about to depart. Au revoir, mademoiselle. Au revoir. We will meet again, I am sure.
Toujours l'amour. Detour.
Greenwood, did they send back my letter yet? Did they, huh?
No, Howard, but it'll be along.
Hello, Miss Greenwood. I'm sorry. I'm late in taking over the booth.
Oh, Alice, is it 6 o'clock already?
It's a little after.
Oh, I'd better be getting home and seeing about our supper.
I'll stick around and wait for my letter. Maybe I'll get acquainted with a whack or a wave or a nurse. You know, I wouldn't mind going out with a nurse.
Oh, Howard, you're old enough to go out without a nurse.
Yeah, I guess I am old. What was that?
Well, I've got to rush now. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Miss Greenwood.
Pardonnez-moi, mademoiselle. Where is the other mademoiselle?
Who?
The lady who was here.
Oh, she had to leave for home.
Yeah, she had. She lived clear on the other side of town, way out on Spring Street.
Spring Street?
Yeah, 403 Spring Street.
But I'm in charge of the booth. Can I give you any information?
Mademoiselle, you can give me some very important information.
What?
How does one get to 403 Spring Street?
Weeks from today is Father's Day, Sunday, June 17th. And if ever there were an occasion when a card could be helpful, it's when we want to tell Dad how much we really think of him. Because somehow many of us are shy about speaking of our affection for Dad. That's where a Father's Day card can help. For you'll find a Hallmark Father's Day card that says just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. Yes, at your Hallmark dealers, there are cards for every dad. Designs tailored to a man's taste. Messages as warm or as hearty as you could wish. There are clever, humorous cards to put a twinkle in Dad's eye. And cards for every member of the family to send him. Above all, don't forget the gallant dads in the armed forces and how much your thoughtful Father's Day message will mean to them at mail call. Go to your Hallmark dealers this week. Make your Father's Day selection while there's still a wide variety available. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And so, back to our story. This afternoon, Charlotte took Barbara's place at the canteen information booth. There she encountered a French liaison officer who seemed to think he had received a letter from her. Now she's back home again. It's 8 o'clock in the evening and...
Goodbye, Aunt Charlotte. So are you leaving now, Jack?
Oh, yeah. Kind of tough, though, you having to stay home all alone, Aunt Charlotte. Even Bobby's gone to a party. Ah, but then I bet in your day you saw plenty of big parties.
I certainly did. The Republicans and the Democrats.
Yeah, but no kidding, Aunt Charlotte. Wasn't there ever a certain someone who... Well, who brought light and warmth into your life?
As a matter of fact, there were two.
Two?
Mm-hmm. The man from the electric company and the gas man. Now, run along. You and Gertrude have a good time this evening.
Oh, I'm not taking Gertrude. I got Barbara to ask Gertrude to a movie, see? That left me free to take Janet. Pretty smart, huh? You know, Aunt Charlotte, I'm kind of sharp.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jack, there's some people so sharp that eventually they cut themselves out of everything.
Oh, if that's Janet, I'm just leaving.
Oh. Hello? Yes? He's right here.
He's Gertrude's brother.
Uh-oh. Hiya, Spike. Huh? Gertrude? Oh, well, she and Barbara went to the movie and they... Huh? Oh. Oh, they're still at your house, huh? Oh, but Spike, Well, I can't take her now. I made a date with Janet. Well... Oh, well, all right, Spike. I'll try.
What happened now?
Oh, Spike says if I don't get a boy for Gertrude, I got to take her myself.
Just a moment, Jack.
Ah, good evening, Miss Greenwood.
Hello, Charlotte.
Well, Judge Cronin and Mr. Anderson, good evening, boys.
I got to get going. Excuse me. Goodbye, Aunt Charlotte.
Goodbye, Jack.
Oh, that's manners for you. He hardly spoke to us. You know what's the trouble with most boys?
Uh-huh. Most girls. Come on in now. You've arrived just in time. 5 minutes later, and I'd been gone, you know? I'm all alone this evening, and I thought I'd like to run down to the canteen.
All by yourself, Charlotte?
Uh-huh.
Why, you shouldn't even be in this house alone. Suppose some night the doorbell should ring, and when you opened the door, some scoundrel walked in.
Well, I'd turn him over to a policeman. But why should any man come in here?
Well, I heard you were followed by a man once.
Oh, that's nonsense, but I'm grateful for the rumor.
All right, but suppose this scoundrel came in here at...
How could he after I turned him over to a policeman?
Well, another scoundrel.
Say, is there a scoundrel's convention in town?
Oh. Look, Charlotte, it's late at night. A clock mournfully tolls one. There comes a ring at the doorbell. And out of the dark and silence of the night, a scoundrel leaps into this very room.
I'd turn him over to a policeman.
Oh. Miss Greenwood, where are you getting all those policemen?
The same place you're getting all those scoundrels. Now,
but
boys,
Charlotte.
Now, it's very sweet of you to be so solicitous of me, but I'm quite safe. In the first place,
The doorbell isn't going to ring. Well, anyway, no man is going to walk into this room.
Mademoiselle, the sweetest thing, voila!
Good, Captain Dupre.
I have big news. The train is remaining for 8 hours.
Wait a minute. What is this?
Oh, pardon. This gentleman, of course, is your father.
I certainly am not her father.
Oh, no. I meant this other gentleman.
Oh, that's better. Huh?
You, obviously, are her grandfather.
For you. Now, see here.
Charlotte,
ask this fellow what he wants.
Well, I couldn't do that, Mr. Anderson. I really don't know him.
Well, you don't know him?
Oh, it is all very simple. I have an invitation here to spend the summer.
Invitation for the summer?
Mais oui, voila.
Oh, now, wait. Remember, Captain, one voila doesn't make a summer.
Mais oui, in the letter, it says if you can spend the summer...
Wait a minute now. Who wrote you the letter?
Mademoiselle, Snooky, you come.
Oh, Snooky, you come. Snooky, you come.
Now, look, what the captain means, you see, that's plainly a pet name.
Pet?
Well, if I were the chief of police of this town, I'd stop petting.
At your age, monsieur, you should.
I don't like you.
Now, look, young man, you're in uniform, so I can't put you out. But I can ask you whether your intentions are honorable or otherwise.
Oh, you mean a man in uniform has his choice?
I mean, I want an explanation.
Well, now it seems that Captain Dupre has a letter.
Mais oui, so. Oui. Mademoiselle wrote to me, asked me to visit her if I am ever in Lakeview, and signed it Snooky, you could.
Oh, Miss Greenwood, you write letters promiscuously to men you don't even know, carry on flirtation?
Certainly not. And if you give me a chance, I'll prove it.
Good evening, miss. I'm Corporal Kenny. I got your letter, so here I am.
Another one?
This is too much.
Hey, this is the right place, isn't it? 403 Spring Street, the Barton residence. That's the return address on this envelope.
Corporal, let me see that letter, will you?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, permit me, Mendez.
Why, Aunt Charlotte.
Oh, Barbara, you're just in time. I'd like to present Corporal Kenny.
Corporal Kenny, but he hasn't any beard. Oh.
Well, how did you know I used to have a beard? This is the craziest thing I ever got into.
I don't know anything about the beard, but I can explain this nice friendly letter. It was written by my niece here and signed Babs.
You mean she's Babs?
Oh, I hope I haven't been any trouble.
Well, if you're trouble, you're the nicest trouble I've ever seen. I don't mean to be fresh,
but... I'm sorry I mentioned about your beard, but you look ever so much better without it.
Oh, that is charming. What romance brought together by a beard. And you, mademoiselle, you, do you believe in love at first sight?
Well, it does save a lot of time.
Gee, I was all messed up, ma'am. I thought you were bad.
Oh, no, she's my aunt, Charlotte Greenwood.
I guess the fault's all mine, Mrs. Greenwood.
No, the fault's not yours. And it isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're sorry. At any rate, this clears up everything.
Oh, just a minute now, not everything. You still haven't explained why this officer is here if, as you say, you did not write to him.
But she did write. Voila, I will read you a letter here. It says... My great, big, beautiful wonder boy.
And so, you wrote that?
From your picture, I know you are just too divine.
Oh.
Adorable.
Oh.
Irresistible.
Oh.
Oh, my, that sounds interesting. Let me read it, may I?
But naturally. Sharp. This is the end.
No, the end says love and kisses. Oh. Barbara, where's Jack, you know?
Oh, Jack's outside in the car with Gertrude. Oh, I almost forgot. He asked me to phone Janet and break his date for him. He's afraid to talk to her.
Well, he doesn't have to break his date with Janet. And you can tell Gertrude that her French captain is here. You see, Gertrude wrote this letter.
What? Well, how can you tell who wrote it when it's merely signed Snooky Ukum?
Well, listen to this next line. And I'll bet you're just peachy-weechy. And I mean, I think you actually are.
That's Gertrude, all right. Why, she must have seen the same magazine I did.
But who is this Gertrude?
Oh, you'll find her very pleasant company, Captain.
She sounds like, how you Americans say, a jerk.
Girls writing to soldiers they aren't acquainted with?
Well, a soldier doesn't require a formal introduction to appreciate a letter. Next to his being home is hearing from home. Hearing all about the things that used to be part of his life. what's first on the hit parade and how the Dodgers are doing.
You can say that again, Miss Greenwood.
Yeah, but signing a letter, Snooky Oakham.
Well, maybe Gertrude wasn't entirely right not signing her own name, but she meant all right. And she certainly wrote a very fascinating letter.
Oh, but yes, I should say she did. And what name is as lovely as Snooky? Unless it is Oakham's.
Now, Barbara, take Captain Dupre and Corporal Kenny out of the car and introduce everybody all around. You all should have a wonderful time at the canteen this evening.
Well, it's sure been swell meeting you folks.
Mademoiselle, I still say you are charming. And, gentlemen, I regret the confusion I have caused.
Well, I regret that I lost my temper. But what would you do if you were in my shoes?
Monsieur, I would have them shine.
Yes, I will. Well, I'm afraid, Miss Greenwood, we accused you a little unjustly.
Yes, yes, Charlotte. We owe you an apology.
Boys never offer apologies. Your enemies won't believe them, and your friends don't want them. Personally, I think it's better not to get into a place where you have to apologize. But now, you may escort me to the canteen.
Well.
Boys, you know, it's marvelous to see all those young people enjoying themselves. It does something to you. Oh, the last time I was there, I was actually shaken by great gobs.
Charlotte, that's great sobs.
Great gobs. I was dancing with sailors.
Greenwood will be back in a moment. Meanwhile, I want to remind you again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying words, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Yes, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friends, VE Day has come and gone, but V Mail is still going overseas to thousands of boys whose greatest happiness is word from home. You know, words are much like well-filled jars upon a pantry shelf. You can close the door upon them and keep them for yourself. Or you can take the nicest one, put up with loving care, to mail to someone far away. It doesn't matter where. Thoughts put into words can carry courage, love, and smiles to someone waiting anxiously across the lonely miles. So don't let thoughts evaporate. Preserve them. And then send your nicest, brightest, gayest thoughts and sign them from a friend. And now, until next Sunday at the very same time, this is Charlotte Greenwood saying,
so long, friends, until we meet again. So long, neighbor, till next Sunday, I'm just saying.
The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show was written by Jack Hasty and D.H. Johnson and directed by Thomas D. Baron Smith. By special arrangement in the regular cast with Miss Greenwood were Alan Reed, John Brown, Charles Cantor, and Edward Ryan, who appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. This is Wendell Niles speaking.
This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.